We can hide behind, oh, I don't know what I want. When in reality, the real question, the real thing that scares us is, I don't know how to make it happen.
For those of you on YouTube, you may be wondering, where am I? And I am at Lost Office. This is our new location, both greenhouse headquarters and podcast studio. So you'll be seeing more of it. We have a lot of great spaces here that teams can rent to do deep work and offsites and leadership team building. Today, we're talking with Ashley Jablow again. She came on the podcast a little bit ago, and we had so much fun. We had multiple topics we needed to cover. Today, you know, people say I'm stuck all the time in coaching and in the interactions we have. That is the most common phrase we hear, is I'm stuck. And what's interesting is a lot of the time, it's not that people don't know what to do. They say, I don't know what I want to do. And the reality is they do know what they want to do. The real stuck point is not the what, it's actually the how. When you start to dig beneath the surface, what you often find is the true place they're stuck is the overwhelm of how do I do this? Is it possible? Like, how do I make it happen? Where do I even start? I'm busy in day-to-day life. Where do I get going here? And so it was interesting that Ashley and I realized we both have this same kind of sequence of events in coaching conversations often. And so we broke it down. And I think it's a great conversation for anyone in that place, or if you know someone in that place, oh boy, there goes the hair. Then you could send this to them. And I'm sure it'll help in some way. A lot of times just hearing one piece of a story or of someone else's situation can give insight. So if you haven't heard the last episode with Ashley, she is a coach and the founder of Wayfinders Collective. We became friends recently and have just had a lot of fun chatting about all things personality types and leadership and life design. She has a background at IDEO, as well as working at the White House on a lot of big design challenges. So she has this kind of design thinking mind applied to designing our lives and the way that we work and the things that we want in our life. So I just love everything about it. We shared before, she has these cool watercolor. She's turning them into essentially kind of a deck of different watercolor pictures that have prompts and inspiration quotes and frameworks and kind of self-coaching ideas. And it's really cool. You can find what she's doing on Ashley Jablow on Instagram. And the link will be in the description. But I think she just has a lot of great thoughts and wisdom to share here. And it was a fun conversation. Ashley, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
I feel like that's just what you're supposed to say as a podcast.
Absolutely.
Host.
And an expression of gratitude as we get started, for sure.
The fun part is like, we actually are just sitting here right after recording the last episode.
You're not supposed to tell everybody that.
I know. We like to reveal the secrets, mm-hmm. You know, really like be real and authentic. But we got so into some stuff last time, which is like one of my favorite topics. So I hope you want to come back on the podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But because of that, we never really got to fully introduce you and your current art project that I'm very excited about.
Yeah.
So can you just tell people what you're about? I know it's hard as being in the 30%. It's hard to know how to introduce what you do.
Right? Yeah. No, it's not always easy to explain ourselves, especially if we feel like we don't fit in any specific box.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, very briefly, my background is in, design and design thinking, innovation. I tried for so many years to fit myself into a neat little box that would make sense. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, I was never successful in my kind of traditional corporate career. I always felt, I call it like buyer's remorse for job seekers. I always, within days, sometimes within hours of starting a new job, I felt like I didn't fit.
Yeah.
And truly, it wasn't actually until I got very unexpectedly laid off from actually what I thought was my dream job that I realized I had been given a gift of the opportunity to actually be honest about who I am and what lights me up, what fulfills me, and what does that mean for the work that I do?
Yeah.
You know, I'd been working in data and technology, and truly, if I were asked to help a team design yet another data dashboard, I think I would have like punched myself. Yeah. So actually, it was a huge gift to be able to stop and take stock and say, you know, what am I all about? Who am I? And using my own innovation tools really on myself to understand who am I and what is the career that's going to integrate within a life that I love living.
Yeah.
So I started out, when I first got laid off, I started out freelancing. One thing led to a next, and I started my own business. I've been self-employed now for over 6 years. And my business is called Wayfinders Collective.
Yeah. So you didn't necessarily see that coming. You weren't necessarily setting out to do that.
No.
I love it. I love the stories of accidental entrepreneurship.
Well, it absolutely was. Like, yeah. I joke that in 2018, my intention was to prove the business model of Ashley. Like, will people actually pay me money to do something for them?
Oh, remember the feeling of the first time someone paid you money?
And then how do you cash the check?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I remember mine was just like, I don't know, $20, but it was like, but they paid me $20 to do what I do.
Yeah. I have a picture of myself holding that first check.
Yes.
And then being like, I don't have
let's get a picture of that in the feed. Yes. So
2018 was like proving the business model of Ashley. I joke that 2019, like, my brain caught up to my body. It was like my body started a business, but then my brain switched on in 2019, and I realized, oh wait, I've actually started a business. Like, what am I doing?
Yes.
And should I have a plan? And what kind of work do I want to do?
Oh, you and my Ashley need to talk, because yes, she's been feeling that lately for the first time.
It's hard. Yeah. It's hard to be there. Yeah. Uh-huh. So 2019, my business started to take off. I was doing a ton of facilitation work with teams and organizations to help them clarify their vision, their values, their strategy. I love doing that work.
Mm-hmm.
And then March 2020, and I was literally leading a workshop the day that the WHO declared it a pandemic.
Uh-huh.
And I remember thinking, I was in Houston, I remember thinking, am I going to be able to get home? And so flying from Houston to DC, where I lived at the time, within that hour, 2 hour flight, my entire book of business for 2020 had been wiped out. I landed in DC and I literally had no business. And my husband was working for a local restaurant at the time. And so, you know, he was in supply chain. So all he cared about in that moment was keeping his job.
Right.
Because it was suddenly our only income source. And my son was 7 at the time and navigating some new challenges with school and home. And then, of course, school just stopped. And so overnight for me, like it did for virtually everyone, nothing made sense anymore.
Yeah.
And in an attempt to try to make sense of my life, to try to hold on to any shred of this is who I am and this is what I'm all about, the only thing that I turned to, the only thing that made sense in that moment was to pick up my paintbrushes, which now I grew up in an artist's family. My mom is incredibly creative, but I never really held that identity for myself, I think because I felt like I was kind of in her shadow.
Yeah.
And so it didn't actually make sense to me. Like, I felt instinctually pulled to, I want to get out my watercolors, but I didn't actually know what I was doing. And I stumbled on something on Instagram called the 100 Day Project, which is an invitation for creatives around the world to create some kind of art every day for 100 days. And again, I would never think of myself as an artist. Certainly at that point, I didn't see myself that way. But I decided to participate. And so it became a daily ritual of creating watercolors. And the only watercolors that seemed to make any sense at the time to me were a mashup of visuals, you know, frameworks I learned from design thinking and innovation, coaching, best practices and tools that I'd put in my toolkit as I trained as a coach, quotes that I found really inspiring, even just original visuals that I'd been kind of kicking around in my head. Mm-hmm. I put pen to paper and then I put paint to paper. Uh-huh. And I created what I've now come to call my watercolor project. It's called 100 Days of Designing My Life. And it is a collection of roughly like 3x5 watercolor postcards that are meant to really, I certainly use them for daily inspiration, for guidance, for insights around navigating change.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to share them more and more with the world. And that's my hope, that people can find that same kind of inspiration and insight for their own life.
They're so cool. I'll put up mine. You made me. So is mine signature custom, or is it just one of the deck that's out there?
I chose yours specifically for you.
Okay, in between. No, I love the one you made for me, or that you gave to me. And I think that, okay, here's what was exciting to me. I don't think I told you this. Mm. I also found my way into design thinking about, what is it now? 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I felt like that was always what I was meant for, in a sense. Like, how did I not find this earlier? Yeah. I loved that you worked at IDEO, because growing up, I kind of idolized them, but I didn't know about their process.
Yeah.
I just knew I liked inventing things. The way of the design thinking methodology for work that's kind of been, I mean, of course, it's been simplified to fit into more corporate workplaces, but that general approach just made natural sense to me. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to work in a collaborative, creative way. And so when I came across it, I was just, it like instantly made sense to me. And people are like, oh, you've been training in it for a while. It's like, no, this is just this is always how I thought the workplace was going to be. Even in college, I was like, I pictured that's how people worked. Mm-hmm. Was these like creative pods with ideas and then like building stuff. So it felt very at home and exciting. One of the things I learned and picked up through design thinking was how powerful it is to communicate with visuals, because we can all say words, but we interpret different things.
Absolutely.
We've talked on the podcast before about tricks to get on a whiteboard and just help the room create a visual understanding of what's being talked about, even if it's just words and boxes and arrows. I always loved like visual communication. And so when I saw some of this kind of stuff in the world of design thinking, I always thought, wow, wouldn't it be so cool if we could do that in the day to day? Like, I remember one time working with a visual scribe who would be in the room, have butcher paper covering the wall. Have you ever seen this?
I have seen it. Yes, okay. It's so awesome.
I worked with two of these people, John Block out of New York and Austin, who was actually at Capital One for a while. Mm. But basically, during an offsite or a team discussion, they'd be on the wall, literally painting a mural of the conversation while it happened.
So cool.
I mean, it blows my mind. It's the coolest thing ever. Because then you end up with this visual that captures the whole conversation that was had in a super striking visual, like art piece.
Yeah, an artifact.
What a cool. So anyway, ever since then, I thought, man, wouldn't it almost like these celebrities, music artists who like have a camera person always following them and like documenting their whole life. It's like, what if you could you know, Austin or John always there at work capturing what's happening? I don't know. To me, that's the coolest thing ever.
I totally am inspired by the thought of having a graphic note taker follow me around.
Please.
Like paparazzi.
It's so self-aggrandized, but I'm like, that is actually so cool. And so, because it's also effective and it's also inspiring, like we're all tired of emails and decks and documents. Like, what if there was more visual communication? So then when I saw your project and I saw the watercolors, instantly all of that popped in my head. Whoa, this could be a way to bring that into the day to day, because they're pre-made, but they apply to lots of scenarios and you could almost just pull it out and use it in a meeting or in a conversation. So I think there's a lot of applications for your watercolors, but to me it was like, whoa, I think I've been hoping that someone would create something like this.
Well, that means a lot.
You did it.
Thank you.
But tell me about your, how do you picture them being used?
Yeah.
In a practical way.
Well, so this is interesting because I'm almost suffering from an embarrassment of riches, I guess you could say. I have so many ideas.
Yeah.
And this is where I think it's so interesting to have these design thinking or innovation tools in your toolkit. Like, it's so easy to tell other people what to do.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I think of that expression, eating your own dog food. Uh-huh. Someone recently told me it should be drinking your own champagne. The hard part is in drinking your own champagne and saying like, okay, I have a vision that these cards and others like them become part of an individual's daily routine, right? Like, I sit down right now as I journal and I pull one of my cards.
Yeah.
You know, what should I think about today? What should I be remembering today? Mm. What's meaningful for me today? I also have a vision where teams are using them to start conversations at the beginning of a meeting or a retreat or an offsite.
Yeah.
I even have a dream of them going in like a goodie bag at the end of a conference.
Oh, yeah. You know? I think every time we work with a team on culture and, you know, team building, we always cover a few main things, like how to have better meeting modes so meetings are more effective, or things like design thinking practices where give everyone time individually to write down their thoughts so internal processors have time and everyone can get their thoughts out. And then as a group, share them one by one so everyone gets a voice. It's just a structured way of conversing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that could be on a card. It's almost like your little instruction guide for what to do to make this meeting better. Or like you're saying, some of them are quotes and things. I think they're really... they're practical, but in a more fun and inspirational way.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things I've been thinking about, I have kind of a hypothesis for how and where we get stuck when we're making change, right? So this shows up for me when I'm thinking about my cards and what I want to do with them. But I see it also come up a lot with people who feel stuck in their career and aren't sure what to do about it, right? So it's kind of a hypothesis. It's a new visual I'm working on that maybe I can, maybe I could sketch it and we could show it another time, but I'll just kind of talk it through.
Well, I was going to say real quick, your Instagram, because a lot of your watercolors are up on there. So it's Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-Y, Jablow, J-A-B-W. I'm going too fast. J-A-B-L-O-W.
Yes. Yeah.
Is the handle. So we'll put the link in the show notes too.
But
I mean, I like how you can see some of the watercolors and how you're using them there.
Absolutely.
So, sorry to cut you off.
No, that's okay. Please. I would love to have folks join me over there.
Yeah.
So, you know, often, and I see myself in this journey that I'm going to describe. So often I hear from people, I'm so unhappy at work. I feel so unfulfilled. I don't want to do this anymore. And then there's like this dot, dot, dot. I don't know what to do about it, right? And so for a very long time, I walked around saying that myself. Like, I know I'm a square peg in a round hole or whatever it is. Yeah. You know, I know I don't fit here, but I don't know what to do. And
or don't know what you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Like so if I'm unhappy in this job, what does that mean I should go do? Right. Yeah. And we spend so much time looking for answers and we spend so much time ruminating and stressing and worrying and staying stuck because we can't quite unlock the answer to that question of what am I going to do? What I've started to kind of play with is the notion that that is like a tip of the iceberg question. Right? Like, and what I mean by that is, what am I going to do? What do I want to do? Is the question that we naturally go to, but is sort of like not even the question. I think it's the place, almost can see like a door. It's the door that feels locked. So I can't go through that door and I can't do anything else because I haven't yet found the key to what do I want to do, right? So oftentimes when people are stuck, I see it in my coaching practice and I've felt it in my own life. I don't know what to do, so I guess I'm just going to stay stuck, right? Now, the beauty is, like, there are tools for that. There are questions for that. There are coaching relationships for that, right? There are exercises around what are my values. There are opportunities to actually stop and honestly imagine a vision for your future, right? That's actually a really solvable question, right? So that's the first place. I notice people getting hung up on the what, right? One of the things I'm starting to see in my coaching practice and in my work with my art is that it's actually more of a how question. We can hide behind, oh, I don't know what I want. I don't know what I want. When in reality, the real question, the real thing that scares us is, I don't know how to make it happen.
Yeah.
And it's like the mechanics, the strategy, the tactics, the risk-taking, the experimentation. That, it's funny, and the reason I say this, I had three coaching conversations in a week with people who came to me and said, I don't know what I want. I'm stuck. I don't know what I want. And then within, like, you know, 2 minutes of conversation, I want to start a social enterprise that supports women leaders in the workplace. Like, wait a minute, what?
I thought you didn't know what you want to do. Right? That's very clear.
It's actually that you don't know how to do that.
Yes.
Right? And so there's sort of another, I don't know if it's another door or another part of the iceberg or what, but it's like, how do I go about making the change? And throughout all of that, whether you're asking a what question or a how question, what's becoming more and more clear to me as I navigate what's going on with my art and what I want to do next and what my clients, you know, encounter and work through, is that there is an underlying foundation of how can I learn to trust myself and stay with myself as I navigate the answers to this question.
Yeah.
Right? Whether it's, what do I want for my life? How do I learn how to tap into what's authentically true for me and stay with my answer and not abandon myself and not hide it, right? How do I learn to own what I actually want? And then also, how do I stay with myself and not abandon and learn to trust myself when I'm going through the messy mechanics of actually trying to reach for a dream that is so meaningful?
Right. Because the reality is, it might not be the right time to step into that thing. That doesn't mean you should abandon it, though.
Yeah.
So then in the meantime, it gets really difficult to stick with it.
Yeah.
I've seen that with a lot of people. And I'm really fascinated. I think I agree with your whole notion. It's a new way of looking at it for me.
Yeah.
But you have me reflecting on the many people I've also coached around this question who probably about 99% of the time, most of the time, I have the same experience. Within the first 30 minutes of the first session, we've figured out what they want to do.
Yeah.
That's not the problem that was in there, that was inside, even if they weren't quite conscious of it yet. It was the permission slip to go for it. It was the, hey, this is realistic. You can go for this. It is doable. And then, like you said, the how to get there and the hard journey of taking the steps. Yeah. There are a few cases I've had where they didn't really know what they wanted to do. But I actually still think for those people, it was in there. It was just buried under so many layers.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Of practicality or, you know, messages from the world. So that's really interesting. Yeah. It's almost like a easier thing for us to say, I don't know what to do, what I want to do with my life.
I think it is. And I do want to be clear. It's very possible that if you're asked the question, what do you want to do, that you might not know what the answer is. Like, that's very possible. But I think you hit on it. It's not that the answer is somewhere outside of you and you just haven't grabbed it yet. It's that it's somewhere in you and the opportunity is to excavate that. It's to inspect that.
Yeah. Even our last episode conversation, I mentioned, my fire pit thing as a kid. Like mm-hmm. I knew I liked inventing stuff yeah. and I knew I liked conversations about life and purpose around the fire pit. It's just that neither of those in my understanding of the world were career paths.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't, I said for the next 20 years, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I totally knew as even as a kid, mm-hmm. it just, that just wasn't necessarily like a clear option. Yeah. And then there's lighter versions of that where people are just like an inch away from their thing and they just don't quite know how to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I say this from the trenches right alongside anyone who's listening, mm-hmm. because the vision that I'm holding for my art is that it becomes something that can be in anyone's hands, right? I really truly want these tools and these pieces of inspiration to go out and spread like wildfire.
Uh-huh.
And essentially, that also means for me, I want them to be part of a successful business,
yeah.
financially and otherwise, right? So at its core, I'm staking my claim that I can make money as an artist,
right?
Which is like one of the biggest, kind of contradictions that artists grapple with is we're told we can't do this.
Right. You have to hold attention, which is, well, it might be hard to make enough money or what you want to make with that. That might be true. That doesn't mean it's not an option altogether.
Yeah.
There might just be other things that unfold as you go along that path. It's like, well, I need to have these other two income sources as well. Mm-hmm. And I mean, how many times have we seen that as coaches where people do have to kind of get creative with their path? But we want to jump to extremes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, oh gosh, I have so many questions about this. What else?
What else? I guess I would just want to leave everyone with a note of inspiration. You know, I think that this journey of what I call designing work that fits within a life that fulfills you, it's not a rip off the Band-Aid overnight success kind of thing, which is something that everyone says. Mm. We all know that.
Yeah.
And it is deeply uncomfortable to sit in that ambiguous space of, I know I'm moving in the right direction. I have no idea to tell. I know there's no way of telling if it really is the right direction, first of all. And how long is this going to take?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I feel that deeply because I'm in it myself and because I see it every day with the amazing clients that I work with. And so I would just really want people to know that, as cliche as it sounds, this is a journey, right? And for most of us, we can't just walk into our boss's office and quit and, you know, kind of like, just rage quit the whole thing and go be that starving artist, right? Yeah. We have to work incrementally. We have to experiment. We have to support ourselves to take those brave and courageous bets on me, on mm-hmm. us, right? On us as individuals. So just really would want people to know that, like, I see you, I'm with you, right? And it is so worth it. I mean, it's so cliche, but at the end of the day, like, this is what we've got. This is our chance, right? And so seizing the chance, you can do it with support. You don't have to do it by yourself, but it's worth being brave and being honest and being creative to say, something in my life isn't aligned. Something isn't working for me. And yes, it feels scary to not have a quick answer to that. And also, I think it's what life is all about.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge and opportunity of being honest with who you actually are and all of those little intuitive nudges you get along the course of your lifetime. When are you going to stop and pay attention to them, right? Mm-hmm. We're so used to shoving it down and shutting it down. And, you know, I need to fit in. I need to do what everybody else is doing. My path needs to look like everyone else's path. And when we do that, we shut out the intuitive knowing that we have about what's actually true for us. So one of my favorite kind of maybe provocations for someone who's feeling like, I have this hit of instinct that I'm meant to be doing something different and I don't know what it is. There's a really lovely author named Courtney Martin, and she's written a lot. She's written a couple of books, I think, but I always go back to a blog post that she wrote. I think you can find it online. And I think it's called, "What Was Your First Question?" And her theory is that each of us is born inherently with one question we're always trying to answer. And that's not a question that's determined by our culture or our conditioning. That's true to who we are and what makes us tick. And it's the through line that you can go back in your life and look at to make sense of, like, oh, that is who I really am. So if someone is faced with feeling like misaligned, like I'm stuck in my work and I'm not sure, how do I get back in touch with what makes me tick and what's actually true and honest and authentic for me? I would go back to Courtney's question and say, well, what was your first question?
Okay, I'm not sure what to say after this conversation other than get a thought partner. If this is you, if this is resonating, get a coach, get somebody to help you think through this, because I think that's the problem, is when we're stuck on the how, it's because we're operating only out of our own perspective on the situation. I almost said capability there, and that's not it. We have the capacity. We have the capability to do it. The problem is we're stuck on our own vision, our own view of how to get there and what's possible. And so something that happens with a thought partner, with a coach, is it opens your view up and it broadens your view to see the next steps and to see what's possible. I mean, I talk about this all the time, but I think the problem we're all in right now is we're still kind of coming out of this industrial age where the whole way that work is designed was a factory system. And so, of course, you have a lot of people getting interested in entrepreneurship, people wanting to do their own thing, people wanting to do something more creative and feel like they're actually helping people, or that they get to the end of the day and they know what they accomplished, because that was always the way we were wired. I mean, think about people with small little businesses and trades way back in the day. This is always how we were meant to live and work, this integration where we have meaning and purpose in it. But we've lost our way because we've had this small blip in history with this thing called corporate America or corporate environment that stripped a lot of that out. And so we get confused. We think that that's the way it's supposed to be. A 9-to-5 with a salary and benefits and emails and meetings, that is what work is. And it's just not true. So of course, people who want to create, who want to help, who want to have some meaning in their work, were confused about that. And so I think what that tells me is it is very much possible to step into whatever you want to do next and whatever would make your life more integrated as a whole. But we can go through the day to day and we're busy and we just assume that it's not possible. How could I get there? And so it's a kind of about the baby steps. It's about a vision for the future and the next step forward. And that action brings clarity and progress.